We made it. Season 3 is here, everyone.
Yay. We did it. Woo. It has been like such an interesting hiatus. The hiatus has been a wild ride for sure.
Yeah. And I think the funny thing is that we were saying multiple times how, oh, we're gonna have a bonus episode, or season 3 was gonna start then, and we didn't have as many bonus episodes as we were wanting to, but the timeline of when we said we were going to be doing season 3 is, I would say, pretty spot on.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty perfect. I think we came back right when we wanted to, and I think we're both ready for it now, because we definitely weren't ready for it before this.
No. And I think working out the kinks and just keep going with it, and we'll go with the flow and see where the season takes us. But we do have I would say 3-4 episodes already pre-planned of what we're going to be doing.
I'm pretty excited for what we have planned for this episode, for the next few episodes, and just where the next few episodes are going, like where that might take us for the rest of the season. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Same. And I think it has been with much excitement that we have been waiting to do this episode in particular. And I think this episode is significant in its own, just because all right, we're doing a TV show this time around, because I think we focused more solely on movies in season 2.
Yes. And that's just easier if we're being entirely honest. I'm really shocked we were able to do the one that we were going to do today, just considering. It's definitely easier to do movies because it's easier to sit down and just watch it like real quick that week before you get ready to record and talk about it. And TV shows are a lot harder to do that with, because a lot of TV shows like are an hour long and then have 12 episodes, and then so it's like you're watching like 5 movies before having to talk about it sometimes, just to remember what happened, or if like we've never even seen it before, just to know what happened and have some kind of opinion to review about. So it's definitely easier, but I'm excited to get back into TV shows, because this is definitely one I've wanted to talk about, and there's so many that I'm ready to talk about. So,
and this particular TV series is long overdue for us, but I think the timing was perfect, just because we've had this in our arsenal of TV shows we wanted to do, but I think the time is now, because this specific series is ending after the next season, which is to hopefully come out on time next year. And we thought the timing was right, because as we cover this latest last season, the end portion of this season is coming out here in just a few days when this episode's dropping. And
I can't wait.
It is with much excitement that we are going to cover season 4 of Stranger Things today.
Okay, Nikki, you were just talking about how the timing is just so perfect for this particular episode, this particular show that we're about to review. Let me bring that in, just really bring that in real quick. So the last season of Stranger Things, and I'm going to go ahead and say this now, spoilers are happening. If you haven't seen Stranger Things seasons 1-4, go watch them, come back. So last thing they left us off on, one of my favorite characters, Hopper, was just like, is he dead? Was he captured by the Russians? Well, what happened? We don't know. So I was crying about that right after my very last MomoCon I went to. It was shortly after that MomoCon. I was talking about that season had just ended. I was talking with a friend of mine, like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, we don't know what happened to Hopper. What happened to Hopper? And literally just a month ago now, I was at MomoCon, literally right after that, Stranger Things, like, the timing is wild. We just did the MomoCon episode, and now we're doing the Stranger Things episode. I don't understand the universe or how it works, but it's cool.
And so giving just a quick background for those that are, hey, I don't care about spoilers, I'll still indulge. So this takes place in the 80s, this specific series, and it surrounds these young kids that over the years, they obviously have grown and now they're all well 18, 19, 20 years old. And plus the pandemic that has added 2 years of us missing them. But it surrounds these children that are growing up in Hawkins, and some crazy, crazy things start to happen that is unexplainable. And every season has been such a wild ride. It really has. In season four, I would say is really answered a lot of questions that a lot of us had and were hanging on the edge of our seat, as you were saying with Hopper. We didn't know what happened.
Oh,
and
God.
So this specific episode for anyone, because we've covered in the past, I would say for our Futurama episodes, our Futurama episode that we did our favorite episodes. And then The Mandalorian, we covered seasons 1 through 2, I think it was.
Yeah.
And this is not it, everyone. This is strictly focusing, I would say, on season 4. So if you're not caught up, again, last final warning.
Yes. And I would love to talk about seasons 1 through 3, but if I'm being entirely honest, outside of like some of the things that have been memed and joked about from like the earlier seasons, and then of course, Hopper, just what is the fate of Hopper? Like, I really just don't remember. It's been so long since like just season 1.
Yeah.
And then season 2 and the long wait between season 3 and season 4. I wouldn't even know what to talk about, if I'm being honest. And I did not go back and watch them before just jumping into season 4. I knew that Netflix would have my back with that.
The recaps.
That, yeah, the recap. And tell me all the important details that I needed to remember. So maybe one day we'll go back and talk about it when it's like finally all over and said and done. But don't expect that anytime soon. And definitely not here.
I think this season, again, just really everything played out very nicely. A lot of questions that were left unanswered in previous seasons were finally answered for us. And I hope this is not going to be a Game of Thrones type-esque show the way that they wrap this up.
I don't
think it's going to happen that way, the way it's based on just the way the show is progressing, but you never know. But let's just get started with, let's talk about Hopper first, just because you brought him up and he is one of your favorite characters. And we'll just kind of go with that, where I would say from season 3, it was definitely a huge cliffhanger for us that we had no idea what happened after that explosion in the lab down in the ground.
I was convinced the whole time. I knew the Russians had him.
Yeah.
I knew it. And I'm not the only one. Everybody knows. If there's no body, they're not dead.
Yeah.
Every TV show, every movie series, anything. No body, not dead. Honestly, sometimes you get a body and they're still not dead. So we didn't get to see that with Hopper. He just kind of disappeared and they were trying to be like, oh no, like he just like got zapped away and there was nothing left. And I didn't buy that for a second. It just didn't make any sense. He was too much. To me, for one thing, I felt like he was already a favorite character in seasons 1 and 2, but I think season 3 really solidified that for a lot of people. He was a huge fan favorite, and just killing him off didn't make any sense to me. Just didn't. So I was so happy when Joyce got that freaking Russian doll.
And I think it's one of those things, too, that we had, I think a lot of us had a huge hunch, and we knew the way the show was going to play out due to the way we knew that the Russians had something to do with a bit of the Upside Down. We obviously didn't know what extent. We still don't know what extent that goes to, but the fact that as we're going through season four, we find out, okay, Hopper is in this Russian prison and he's trying to break free, that he has somebody on the inside, a Russian police officer or security guard that has his back, weirdly enough, for money. And of course, it's the no face man from Game of Thrones, let alone.
Oh my God. Every time he was on screen, like planning his little getaway, making his plans with the guards, just trying to get in touch with Joyce, like every word that came out of his mouth, every move that he made, I was on the edge of my seat. I was so scared. I was like, the Russians are going to kill you. And
it was wild. It really was, because I never knew if this guy was really going to double cross him. And through the whole entire process, he stayed true to his word.
He did. He did, all the way until he ended up right there next to him.
Yep. And that's where there's so many shockers to unpack with this season. But to finally find out where the Demogorgon, they have one and they're using them strictly for play. For the prisoners? What?
That was so wild. And it was kind of crazy to me, like, just that whole scene where they're having their last dinner and they're plumping them up for the Demogorgon so he can have more fun or whatever. But just the fact that so many of them didn't even realize that obviously it was a final meal, obviously something terrible was going to happen, and then the realization of the Demogorgon was, oh,
I had a feeling that's the way that was gonna play out, just due to the trailer obviously didn't hold any punches, and it obviously showed it that one point where the Demogorgon comes out and leaps. That's what you see in the trailer. And mm-hmm. So I knew it was coming, but literally it had me on the edge of my seat, like, oh my goodness, no.
Right? I don't want him to ever have to fight one again. Oh, I just want Hop home and safe, and I just need him home.
And that was just wild. And I think they played it out so nicely, where it seems as if so many things were going to go wrong.
Every moment, like, in every time you thought something was going to go wrong and then it didn't, and it was fine and he made it through it. And then it was another thing and another thing and another thing. And then when he finally did get caught and it was just over, and it was the stupidest thing, he was finally relaxed. He had finally had a moment to let his guard down and eat peanut butter.
Of all things.
With his fingers. But just, like, have it all ripped away. And it was, you made it through so much. Like, just that one scene with the shed. Where he made it through that, and for him to get caught after all that in that moment, it
was gut-wrenching.
It ripped my heart out. I almost stopped watching, Nikki. I was so upset.
And I think the possibilities now we're finding out are endless, with portals that go into the Upside Down that could possibly lead to Hawkins, because as we learned in season three, there was the huge portal down in the military base, that I don't know what you want to call them. We still don't fully know what they are and who they are, but they have a portal to the Upside Down, and
they're doing some weird stuff.
They are. And I think it's fair to also bring up now the other biggest plot twist this season, in my opinion, which is one of the best played out plot twists in cinematic TV history, is Vecna and who Vecna is.
I really didn't see it coming. I really didn't. I
didn't either.
That was wild. And then that's how they leave you. That's how they leave you. That's so upsetting.
And it was wild because when that last episode was finally playing out and we're finally connecting the pieces of Victor Creel and his character, who he is and how he was unfortunately made out to look like the bad guy, but really this whole time it was his son. And then that alone was a what? What did I just watch? That alone. Also, finding out that Victor's son was number one. And to find out that literally Victor's son being number one
and Vecna then, like, at the same time. Fall through the upside down and like getting zapped and just annihilated. And can we talk about for a second how creepy his design is?
They did such a amazing job, the special effects department, because honestly, looking at that, you truly do not see special effects to that extent anymore. A lot of it is CGI, and I actually watched something, it was through, I think, Vanity Fair, I believe. They had a 10-minute video of the making of his character and how they wanted the fingers to be and everything. And it is just absolutely mind-blowing and so much way to go and props to them. I don't remember what the special effects group's name or company was called, but they're also the same company that made The Night King.
Oh, nice.
So that's why, honestly, because I was thinking it could have either been Greg Nicotero. I was thinking maybe he had something to do with it in his company.
Yeah.
Because he does amazing work on The Walking Dead, as you know.
Yes. I had the joy of wearing one of his zombie faces, and it was amazing.
And it is just so fascinating to see 100% that is all paint and prosthetics that went together. And I recommend, if you haven't seen that, I'll send you the link. Oh, and anyone else, please watch it. It is so eye-opening, and I have such a love for special effects departments and movie and TV after that.
His design was so creepy. It bothered me every time I had to look at him on screen. Just got under my skin, and I'm not sure if it was because he wasn't wearing any pants.
That's what did it.
I would notice that, like, almost every time that we saw him from the front, and it was like his full body, I was incredibly bothered by the lack of pants. Just so bothered by the lack of pants. I think I said it out loud a couple times while I was watching it with Clay. I think I said, it's like if they shaved the Grinch and he got really gray and he doesn't wear pants. So it, like, this is exactly what it, like, it brought up in my mind. But also it was just so gross and creepy. And when he lift himself up
with the tentacles.
Yes.
That was wild. And when we first were introduced to Vecna, and we'll get to number one here in a bit too, because that, I would say, even though Vecna and number one are obviously the same person, they're at different times in their lives.
It would be like saying Anakin and Darth are the same. Like,
yeah. Yeah. But when we're first introduced to Vecna and his character, I said, what on earth? This is some dark, I don't even think Black Mirror. I don't even remember what my initial thought was, but this was some sinister stuff that they were going in a huge different direction, where I know season 3 was with the mind flare, that thing was absolutely massive, but it didn't give off the creep factor that I felt, such as American Horror Story or Nightmare on Elm Street, for that matter.
Oh, you know what? You know, I was actually just about to say that. It was very Nightmare on Elm Street-esque, and we even had Freddy on set and playing a character in this season, so that was just wild. And it really did feel a lot like that, especially when, because I know it was still the upside down, but it did feel a little bit different when it was Vecna's upside down, like, or wherever their portion of the upside down is. And it felt very much like going into the dream sequences in Nightmare on Elm Street.
And I really think that's what they're implying, when, especially because we know the upside down, and when we're getting to the end of the season where finally Victor Creel's house is essentially where Vecna is. But what we don't realize is when Max gets taken into the upside down, it's not the upside down. It's Vecna's, his own mind and how she infiltrated it. And so that's where the difference is, why everything is so red. And yeah. I think that's why it feels very reminiscent to Nightmare on Elm Street, exactly as you're saying.
I love the whole way that they pulled that off, the whole way they did that. And I love the way that they actually managed to get out of Vecna's headspace.
With one of the biggest songs to come back since, what, the 80s now?
Yes, yes. I also want to point out, if I got cursed by Vecna, I would be so screwed, because my favorite song changes on, like, an hourly basis. So nobody would know what to play. They would just be like, play the Spotify playlist and just keep hitting skip until she wakes up.
I think just introducing this sinister new character, and the thing that people are finding out is Vecna has been around since season one. There's been little things that have been hinted throughout each season that he has always been there, especially with the clock, the grandfather clock. We hear it in different times throughout different eras of each season, and
I didn't even notice.
There's apparently somebody on TikTok, I wish I could give them credit. It's, you scroll and you find a video after video, and
you have to hit the little bookmark button.
To be fair, this was prior to us knowing recording this episode and knowing we were going to do this, but there was, in one of the Polaroids that Jonathan and Nancy are looking at, you can actually see a silhouette of a demon man looking thing, which people are assuming
that might
that's
be Vecna.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's wild. That would be so wild if he's been here literally the whole time.
I think it's going to be one of those TV series that once it ends, because there's not so many seasons as well, and the seasons are shorter, that you can for sure go back and rewatch it.
I'm excited to do that when it's actually all said and done, especially because like I said at the top of the episode, where we would love to recap seasons 1 through 3, but that was a long time ago. That was a really long time ago, even for season 3, which was the most recent season up until now. So it would be really nice to, when it's over, just see it all, not in one sitting, because oh my god, but to get to watch it all together without a year or more than that of a break in between each story would be really nice, to see how they all connect into this overarching thing that they seem to be trying to build.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think it's playing out so nicely, and just finding out the different things that finally make sense at the end. And we're not even, we have 2 more episodes coming for season 4 to tie it up in a really nice bow. And it's really nerve-wracking, because apparently there is gonna be some death to come, and people are nervous. They really are. The online community is very nervous of who it could be.
Who do you think is going to go?
I honestly don't know. Season 5 is going to be their last season, so technically they could kill off huge characters. I don't think that they're going to pull a Game of Thrones on us and kill one of the kids. I hope not.
Oh my god. If they kill Dustin, I will quit. I will quit. I'll say I don't even need season 5. I'm done.
I love Dustin. He's probably my favorite out of the younger kids.
Yes.
And
he's the sweetest. I love him.
He is. And so I would be heartbroken if they killed off Dustin, or just any of the kids for that matter. And then one of the newer characters, which we have to talk about, is Eddie Munson, who has been such a joy.
Okay, based on, so me and you have been talking a little bit back and forth about recording this episode and therefore talking about Stranger Things. So I get the vibe that Eddie might be like your new favorite character since the season. Am I right about that?
He might be on top next to Randall Pink Floyd from Dazed Confused. It's so funny because honestly, when we first were introduced to Eddie, I honestly did not like him. I thought he was a punk and a bully because of the way that he was saying, oh, you have to go and play D&D. But then once we start seeing the softer side of him after he is brutally traumatized from the death of Chrissy, then you start seeing the softer side of him that I said, oh no. I hope he makes it into season 5.
Yes. Oh, that is so, excuse me, Nikki, but that is kind of cute that you were like, I hate him, but now I love him.
And that's the thing that gets you with these heartstrings is they want you to be so invested in these characters at first where you're, you know what, I really don't like them, and you see them in a different light throughout the season and end up saying, okay, you know what? I really, really like this character.
I definitely got the same vibe from him when I was watching it, where you're kind of annoying. You don't have to be so hard on these kids. They're just kids. Yeah. Like, it's just a game. But when he was being really cool with Chrissy before Chrissy, wake up.
Leave it to TikTok. Leave it to TikTok. Chrissy, wake up. I don't like this.
For the tragic death of Chrissy, he was so sweet to her. And if nothing else, at least he gave her something. I don't know. He was incredibly sweet to her in her final moments, you know? So, and I really did kind of fall for him in that moment too, where it's just like, oh, you're really sweet. And I can really vibe with your character now. So.
And it's wild because I felt so bad for his character because literally everyone kept assuming that he was doing these murder crimes that were going on. And even, I don't even remember what that one kid's name, which really was aggravating me because we must revenge Chrissy.
Oh, yeah. Her boyfriend who
basketball player. Yeah.
That was convinced that Eddie did it. I could not stand him the entire time.
Same.
Like, I might hate him more than I hate Vecna. Like, honestly, he's just the worst, the absolute worst.
I agree. Oh man, yeah. And the way they tied everything up where you finally find out, okay, Victor's been innocent this whole entire time, where they thought he killed his family, and we find the other so many like twists and turns through the season that his son blamed him. And what?
That was so wild to me. And just getting to know more about father.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing where I was so like, another moment in the show where it just was heart-wrenching and it killed me. And it literally felt like my heart was being ripped out of my chest when I didn't trust the one guy whose name I am drawing a blank on right now, who was helping Eleven.
Oh, same. I don't remember. It's funny. I don't remember his name either. I don't even remember his character. We had to go rewatch the recaps and find out who he was, the doctor or scientist. And I didn't trust him either. I honestly didn't.
I was very wary of him, but yeah. I was starting to warm up, and I was starting to get to a point where I trusted him. But then that whole scene where father was there, she got freaked out. She tried to run. She tried to get away because this is not what she wanted. This is like the last thing she needs is for people to try to control her again and keep her mm-hmm. in a cage. And it's like, she's just stuck. She tries to get out and they do manage to stop her. And I couldn't stand to watch it. I just couldn't stand to watch it. It ripped my heart out. I hated it for her.
Yeah, it was hard because it seemed like they really gave her no choice. And it was either you're coming with us to gain your powers back, or everyone is all doomed in Hawkins.
But speaking of Eleven, I think watching her this season was probably one of the hardest things for me to do. Her story, I was telling Clay multiple times, and I'm sure this can be said for a lot of people, where high school sucked.
Yeah.
High school really sucked. Thank God never had anything as traumatic as Carrie happen to me, but I have had that situation where the cool kids have locked me in a circle of shame and just made me feel bad for just being, for existing like bullies do. And watching what Eleven went through this season while she was going through her high school phase and dealing with her bullies and a lot of the stuff that she was having to deal with while trying to play it off, like, oh, no, I'm fine. It's cool. School's fine. It was really, really hard for me to watch. It again, just broke my heart. And I could not stand the roller derby scene where they play the song and the cheerleaders surround her and dump a milkshake or whatever on her and push her down. I could not stand to watch that scene. And I'm going to go ahead and say this now. She had it coming. She had that skate coming to her face. And when her face was split in half, I was just like, maybe that scar will teach you a lesson or two.
I have to agree on the side of that high school, middle school is very tough for, I think, if not everybody, a lot of people on this planet. And it for sure broke my heart to see her character going through that, because she was just trying to, one, fit in, and then two, I would say move past what had happened with Hopper and losing Hopper, and then for these kids to be making fun of her for not having a dad, essentially, and her dad being her hero, was so hard to watch. And
she was so proud, proud. I couldn't. Mm.
I think Eleven's story this season was very, again, filling those missing pieces for us, because since season one, we always had no idea truly to what extent had happened in that facility with her. Mm-hmm. And they even, obviously it was CGI, it wasn't really Millie Bobby Brown and things that they filmed back from season one, but revisiting her time as a child in that facility and Papa coming out and saying, what have you done? We assume that Eleven has always had anger issues or something wrong with her.
Yeah.
And it comes to full circle that we find out really she did not murder all of those children. So it really was a distraction, the whole roller skating rink incident that happened, because then you're thinking, okay, she did kill all those kids at the facility.
Yeah, she has the ability to snap.
Yeah.
When I argue everything that happened up to that moment, maybe she shouldn't have used her skate, but she definitely should have hit her.
We do not condone violence on this podcast, Rachel.
No, we do not. But I definitely giggled when I watched her do it.
My mouth dropped and I said, what? I was shocked. I was flabbergasted that actually happened. And so once the pieces started getting put together and you find out, okay, she literally blew up. It was more than she could take. I think if any child, any teenager, any person endured that much of a person treating them so poorly, anyone yes. can snap. But we found out that really Eleven is not a murderer. And we find out that, again, another twist, that Vecna that we've been seeing all throughout season four and potentially throughout all the other seasons is number one that we're introduced to this season. And it's funny because they want you to believe that we don't know technically that this is number one first, to be fair. We don't know who this person is. Mm-mm. And so once we're starting to see things kind of move forward and this guy is being way too friendly with Eleven, and then finally the big reveal of, oh, he's number one. And there's something there. I've been reading fan theories, and one of the craziest fan theories that I'm saying, you know what, they may not be too far off, is that number one is Eleven's dad.
Do you think so?
The timeline adds up, because we still don't know about early on number one after what happened when his father got taken away. We don't know that time frame. We only know him being in the facility pretty much after, well, the time that he was taken by Papa. But he would have been, I think they said 20-something years old, 22, 24. And his her mom, Eleven's mom, was around the same age. And so they say there's so many similarities between the two and why she's so much more powerful than all the other numbers at the facility.
That's a really interesting theory. I don't know. That would be, I don't know how I feel about that.
It could be a huge stretch, but I don't
know.
It's not.
No, it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting. And when they were showing us the flashbacks and showing us like more and more of his character before we knew him to be number one and before we knew that it was actually him and not Eleven, they had me fooled. Again with the roller derby scene and her snapping then, and her obviously trying to use her powers a couple other times and them just not working to try to hurt the girls. They definitely tricked me. And while I was watching those flashbacks, while I was watching those scenes with him in it, I thought he was actually trying to help her.
A good guy,
Yeah. And I, there were multiple times I said out loud, like, oh, you're going to feel so bad when you kill him later.
See, I have a different mindset with that. As we're going through and I'm saying, okay, this guy is really friendly, taking a liking to her. And I thought that that last episode, when finally it's revealed who he is and everything, I kind of called it as I saw it. I said, what if he's using her? And so once it played out, I said, okay, it makes sense. But I think it wasn't a matter of using her. Maybe it was a little bit, but I think a lot of it was due to he really wanted her to see what he was seeing, how Papa is essentially dangerous. I don't disagree with that in what he said.
No, absolutely not.
But I don't agree with him trying to essentially kill people and take over and
no. It was definitely a lot to take in, because, and I'm sure that's why it was overwhelming for Eleven in that moment, because it's exactly like you said, Papa is not a person who is deserving of trust. We've seen that in seasons 1 through 3, and it was almost weird to me too while I was watching the flashbacks for season 4. And because he does, while she's in trapped and being held essentially hostage in that underground facility that they're in, he is trying to help her reignite her power, unlock that within her. He is in some ways trying to help, but it was so weird to me, to, especially after watching seasons 1 through 3, where I've been like almost programmed, do not trust this man.
Yeah.
Do not trust him. For this season, for them to almost be like, well, you know, he's not as bad as we've made him out to be. He might not be necessarily evil. He's not good, but he's not necessarily evil. That was incredibly hard, like hard for me to wrap my head around this season. And so when he was like, yeah, no, Papa's a bad guy, I was like, yeah, you're right, but also murder's bad.
Yeah, there was for sure something there that was amiss. And I think once everything came together and finally Eleven was able to push him into the Upside Down, where number one, it created the Upside Down, and that's where the Upside Down was created.
And that's where my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
Because just, oh my God, that whole, just him taking that nosedive through.
And, let alone just figuring out why Hawkins is, I would say, the portal of why it's happening in Hawkins is because he grew up in Hawkins.
Yes, this where it all started.
It's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. It's insane. I'm so upset that's basically how they've left us until the finale.
What are your predictions for the last two episodes? And then what are your predictions for season five for them to close out the series?
The twist of number one, that has thrown me through such a loop. I'm not entirely sure where they're trying to take the next part of the season as far as his character, what he plans to do next. However, I do think we are about to lose a major character. I'm not sure who. I have a few that I will riot if we lose them. I don't want to lose Steven. I don't want to lose Hopper, and I really, really don't want to lose Dustin. And I will just straight quit if they kill Dustin. So those are the characters that I don't want to lose. I am afraid the most for Mike. Yes, he's been so useless this season.
I'm not sure. I don't think they're going to kill off any of the kids or even the teenagers. Something with that does not sit right with audiences to lose any kind of animals. So dogs, for that matter, cats, any kind of animal. It doesn't sit well with audiences to lose children in TV series and film. But for this particular thing, I don't think they will. I have a feeling if they kill anybody major, it's gonna end up probably, I hate to say it, being Hopper. Or
do you think it would be Joyce instead? I was gonna say, I actually have a feeling, and I hate to say it because it feels really wrong for them to kill Joyce just so that they can give Hopper something to do in season five, which would be depressed and have survivor's guilt over Joyce. And that's just, I would hate to see that, but I could see them going that route where they choose to kill, because after he got caught and he realized that he had put Joyce in danger by telling her where he was and basically asking her to come save him, he was very resigned in the fact that he actually didn't want to be saved by her anymore. He was very much, I would much rather her just go home and be with her kids and forget I ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I feel like they might kill her off just so when he does make it home and he does make it safe and she just barely didn't make it herself, he can run around and have to deal with that and overcome that in season five, which I would hate to see it. And for any writers listening, stop killing women to progress men's stories. Thanks.
I think the way that they're going to wrap up season four is it's going to be a showdown, or the start to a showdown, between Vecna and Elle. And I think it's going to build up to that just because throughout this season, Papa, the scientist guy, have all been saying, it is on your shoulders. You are the key to saving Hawkins. And so I do have a feeling it's going to come down to a showdown between the two of them. But I think they will leave us on a cliffhanger for season four, where either it's going to seem as if all hope is lost, Elle is dead, or something significant that's going to lead us into a complete, total end of the series in season five for a final finish showdown between all of the runaway numbers that we have not seen since I think it was season two.
I don't know about that. I'm going to have to disagree with that just slightly, just a little bit, because, and the only reason I say this is I do think they will give us a somewhat satisfying ending, because they've done that in every season. Season one had a very nice, like, bow tie ending. They obviously had that spoiler. I mean, obviously we've been talking about everything so far, but they had that one scene at the end of season one where I can't remember which kid, but one of the kids
goes, it was Will,
Okay, yeah, Will went into the bathroom and vomited that black slug slimy thing. And they've always left everything like tied up in a nice little bow, but gave you like a little like hint, like a little tease that they only think that they made everything right and everything's gonna be calm and they can go back to normal life, but the upside down is still there. So I think it might end up being a thing where if it does come down to a showdown between those two, that we will win. But like obviously, like it's going to be a big blowout, and the season finale will be a big spectacle. But I still think that something about it will feel too easy.
Yeah, yeah, I don't disagree.
and so they'll be like, we won? ?
The thing to keep in mind too is, as far as we are aware at this time, there is nobody that's higher than Vecna, though. Vecna is the head honcho in the Upside Down, where the Mind Flayer was probably the worst of it, of season 3 at least. But I don't think there's anything worse than Vecna. So I agree that I think it's going to end where we think we've defeated him, but really he's going to go hibernate somewhere and kill more people and become more powerful.
exactly. It won't be an actual defeat. Yeah. It'll just be him retreating to come back later.
Yeah.
And so that's how I think it'll all play out, if I'm being entirely honest, but we will see. I really hope I'm right in this, because I don't want a huge, huge cliffhanger. I want to feel somewhat satisfied, because God knows when we get season 5, considering how long it can take for a Stranger Things season to come out. But hopefully it won't take too long for season 5 to come out. Hopefully in the time that they had to wait to film, maybe they got a little extra done on season 5, so it won't take as long.
All right. Well, give popcorn ratings. We haven't done this in so long. Oh my goodness. First rating of the season, my friend.
I am going to give this one a large bag of popcorn. It's a lot of fun. It's really good, especially if you love 80s nostalgia. It's still a lot of that. We didn't even talk about Steve and Robin and all of the scenes where they're in the Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. And then the way that they were trying to find Eddie, and then they found him with the Cheech and Chong movies. That was hilarious. And we didn't even cover that. So there's so much to love about this show. And again, like, if you don't remember seasons 1, 2, and 3, I didn't really remember seasons 1, 2, and 3. The Netflix recap has got your back.
Yeah.
It'll refresh your memory on the things that you need to remember. And it's so worth it. If you didn't enjoy the season 3, but are kind of wondering if you want to try out season 4, do it. It's so good.
I have to second that. I'm giving it an extra large, though. Ooh. Just because, honestly, they did such an amazing job with this season. I have not been disappointed in any season that has came out with this show. And this one is no exception for that matter. And just, I love the new characters that they've brought in. I love just the change of the storyline, how it is. Not only we're getting, obviously, as always, that 80s feel, but just very Nightmare on Elm Street. Yes. And all of that very deep, demented stuff going on with Vecna and whatnot. And I think they had the best twists and turns and just things that we were not expecting to happen. And it kept me on my toes. And overall, this is probably one of my top favorite TV series. It really is. I will for sure say that the Duffer brothers did an amazing job, as they always have.
It was a fun season. It was so good. I can't wait to see how it ends.
I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. And plus the show's ending.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be one to miss because it was so good.
It really beginning was. To end.
So next episode will be much like this episode, a darker theme, maybe even like a bat to a bat. I don't know. But next week, we have a very fun review coming, and I'm very excited to cover this one.
I am too. And I'm surprised how much I liked this topic.
I have things that I want to say about it that I was shocked about, but we'll talk about that next week.
Well, this has been a very, I think, successful first season 3 episode for us to, I know, for us to get back into the swing of things and just to start off season 3, and let's continue this momentum into the rest of the season.
I'm excited. I can't wait. The rest of season 3. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, everyone. Until next time.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts.
Doomed.
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 Doomed.